Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
The reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you'll find it on page 1166. We start at verse 20 and then go on to verse 35. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives it its own body. All flesh is not the same. Human beings have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendour of the heavenly bodies is one kind and the splendour of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendour, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendour. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonour. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first Adam became a living being, the last Adam a life-giving spirit. The spirit did not come first, but the natural, and after that the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the one from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly, so shall we bear the likeness of the heavenly. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Sylvina. Do keep that passage open. You can follow it in the Bibles on page 1166. Let's pray. Where, O death, is your victory? Loving Father, we thank you that Jesus rose. Please open our eyes and our hearts now as we look at your word. Amen. One of the big questions that people have, what is going to happen to us after we die? What is going to happen to us after we die? We were looking at this question in our youth group the week before last, and we explored the different views that people have about what's on the other side. Maybe go to heaven or hell, maybe get reincarnated as another person or as an animal, maybe become the spirit of people's ancestors, or maybe just become compost. And yet, as one of our young people pointed out, it's very hard to answer that question because none of us who were looking at it had died yet. None of us were qualified to really answer that question with any sense of lived experience. And yet, when someone dies and comes back to life and is seen by many people, then the guessing ends. Someone is qualified to tell us what it is like. And that is what Easter is all about how Jesus died and how he rose from the dead, and how he is the one qualified to answer our questions about life beyond death, and to show us the way as well. And Jesus shows us, he revealed himself to many. Here is what Paul, an early follower of Jesus, said. We read it in verse 20. Christ indeed has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That was verse 20. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Picture the vineyard, picture the farmer who's got the harvest. And for the year they are waiting. What is this fruit going to be like? Is it going to be what? Is it going to be terrible? Is it all going to go completely wrong? And then harvest time, the first batch comes through, the first fruits. Now the waiting is over. It's begun. The farmer can touch and taste. It's going to be brilliant. the first, because the farmer has had the first fruits. So it is with Jesus. Jesus, the first fruits, the one who died and rose, the first fruits of those who believe in Jesus, who will be risen with him. So if there's one thing to see this Sunday morning, Jesus, the first fruits. That's what the resurrection is doing. Jesus, the first fruits. Jesus' risen body, a foretaste of the risen body of those who trust in him. Now, that is just a few words, and yet such a deep reality. And we're going to unpack that over the next few minutes as we look at these chapters. And I'm sure we've got lots of questions. What will our bodies be like? Will they be the same? Will they be different? Will I still have that dodgy eye? Will we be able to recognize each other? One family friend of ours was asking, will I still be a child when I'm in heaven? And these verses help us and unpack that. Four headings. It starts with something that we often miss. Resurrection bodies will be physical, not floaty. Physical, not floaty. Look back, verse 20. The first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. Verse 49, if you look on ahead. Just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, that's Adam. We all bear the image of Adam. So shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. That is Jesus. Jesus, as a risen man, was seen by people. He ate fish in front of him. They touched the place where his scars were. Jesus was a physical body. And for those who saw Jesus, it was really clear that Jesus had risen bodily. He was there in front of him. That's for all of them, that was clear. And for those people who'd read the Old Testament, who'd read of the resurrection spoken about in Daniel chapter 12, they were expecting bodies to raise. And that is what resurrection bodies will be like. Physical, not floaty. Sometimes we imagine that we'll be a bit ghost-like. And maybe sometimes we say, well, it's not about the body, it's about the soul. But actually, for Jesus, it is about body and soul. God has a plan for our bodies. It's really striking in this letter of 1 Corinthians how it talks about things about our bodies, about food, about sex. It's because our bodies matter. Our bodies matter. How we use our bodies matters because God has a plan for our bodies. So physical, not floaty. Next, transformed, not me now forever. Transformed, not me now forever. Have a look at verse 43 in the Bibles in the pew. You see all these contrasts about this heavenly body. It's sown, verse 43, sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Verse 44, sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. You see those contrasts there. Sown and then raised. Jesus' body, when his body rose, it was different. People initially didn't recognize him, although they did recognize him later. It was different. Some point when he was walking along, sometimes he disappeared and he appeared someone else. It was similar. They eventually knew it was Jesus, and yet at the same time different. He was transformed. So it is with those of us who trust in Jesus. Sometimes when we try and imagine what will it be like in heaven, we think, well, maybe it'll just be the same as us now, but forever. So maybe if you've watched that that third Indiana Jones film, The Last Crusade, they spend the entire film, and I think Sean Connery in that film, he says he spent his whole life finding the Holy Grail, and they go around and find it, and they almost die. And then when they get to the Holy Grail, you find out that it keeps you the same as you are forever, and all you can do is live in that cave, because it doesn't work beyond the cave. So it's a bit rubbish. Eternal life turns out to be a bit rubbish in Indiana Jones, despite the fact they spent the whole movie searching for it. And maybe we imagine it's going to be a bit like that, like we're just going to be in one place, it's going to be a bit boring, and we're just going to be the same forever. But actually, the picture we get here is totally different. Transformation. Not me, now forever. Contrast, weakness to power. Weakness to power. Thinking of our own physical fragility. Jesus is going to transform that. Think of dishonor to glory. Jesus was rejected. His early followers were rejected. But one day, wearing garments of glory, majestic. It's the language of coronation clothes. Transformed, sin removed, weakness removed. And what a comfort that is. When we go to the doctor and our bodies aren't what they should be, when we fall for that same sin, again, will I be struggling forever? Transformed, not me now forever. That's what the resurrection says. Transformed, not me now forever. Imperishable, not perishable. Imperishable, not perishable. So think of your things in your fridge and in your cupboard. You've got your perishables that go off very quickly, and then you've got your tins, which could probably survive a nuclear winter and still be all right. What kind of things is resurrection body like? Big thing here, verse 53, imperishable. The perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable. And that language is not just about being the same forever, like the tin of baked beans in my cupboard, that maybe if it's 20 years old and you open it up after 20 years, it's not perished, but it's okay. It's still roughly what it should have been. It's both about lasting forever, but also the glorious quality of it. So maybe less like the baked beans in your cupboard, more like the diamond jewelry, still thousands of years still later, with its shine, and you're turning it, and you think, wow, look at it from this side, shining brightly. Sometimes we talk about resurrection in that sort of spring language, like new life, like eggs and flowers coming back. But it's something completely different, because those flowers and those eggs, they will die and they will perish. But resurrection bodies, that's totally different. Imperishable, never losing its quality. And that means that the follower of Jesus has a very different view of death. Our culture wants to forget about death. We put the crematoriums as far back from the main road as we can, behind some layers of trees, because we're afraid. Because we're afraid of it as a culture, we're afraid of it in our lives as well. But the follower of Jesus can face death, a great and terrible enemy, a painful enemy, and yet a beaten enemy, because Jesus has risen. And amazingly, the Christian can sing about death. In verse 54, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Imperishable, not perishable. And that brings us, what's the resurrection all about? Resurrection, not resuscitation. A new set of clothes. The perishable clothing itself with the imperishable. And sometimes I would show resurrection a bit like this. So Jesus didn't, if this is death and this is Jesus, Jesus didn't die and bounce back. That's not what he did at Easter. Jesus, it's like he took death and he punched right through, out the other side. And anyone who is trusting in him can be with him through death, right out the other side. It's resurrection, not resuscitation. Jesus, who's defeated the greatest enemy. What an amazing thing. So let me just spend a moment as we close thinking, what does it look like to believe this? What does it look like to believe this really? I'm really struck in these verses. It's quite different from how I might naturally think about the resurrection. Because when I think about the resurrection, sometimes, and maybe you've thought this way, sometimes we immediately think to like your home insurance policy. Okay, I've got my home insurance policy with the post office, and I've got my document, and it says what I'm covered for, and I put it in the file, and I can generally forget about it for the rest of the year, and then maybe the next year we can renew it. But for most of my life, I'm not thinking about my home insurance policy. And maybe sometimes we think about the resurrection like that. I've got my insurance, and I can just get on with the rest of my life now. And maybe when things go wrong, I'll pull the insurance policy out. But actually, to believe the resurrection is very different. Isn't it striking how in that last verse of chapter 15, in verse 58, we see a bit of what it looks like to believe the resurrection. And the resurrection doesn't just say, kick back on your sofa. The resurrection says something much more powerful. The resurrection says, not in vain. It says, not in vain. Have a look at verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that the labor in the Lord is not in vain. Not in vain. Isn't that amazing? Often in our lives, we labor for the sake of the future. We work hard in our education at the beginning of our lives so that we can get ourselves lined up for a good job. We work hard in our job so it will pay our bills. We put contributions into our pension fund so that there is money waiting for us when we retire. We exercise in one decade of our lives because we're told that that will help us better in the next decade of our lives. And we do these things because we are trusting that they will, that the labor in the future will be not in vain. And sometimes it's not in vain. And sometimes, sadly, it is in vain. But amazingly, the resurrection means that labor for the Lord is not in vain. This book of 1 Corinthians, I sometimes think it's a bit too relevant. If you read the whole book, it's a bit too relevant. And sometimes it gets really close to the bone because it says some really striking things about our lives. It calls us to be loving. It calls us to be patient. It says things like, don't eat if it causes your brother or sister to stumble. It says, honor God with your bodies. It says, do anything, everything you can to reach people for the gospel. It says, live lives that are Easter-shaped. as Jesus died and rose. The follower of Jesus, the life is Easter-shaped, of die and then rise, lose life and then save life later. But amazingly, the follower of Jesus can say, not in vain. What a wonderful thing to take into tomorrow morning, wherever we are, whatever we're serving the Lord in our homes, at work, maybe over a break, to know whatever walk of life we're following Jesus in tomorrow, whether it's easy or whether it's hard, the follower of Jesus can say, not in vain.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.